the beat goes on for the San Francisco Giants, who just continue this brutal, miserable stretch of baseball with a couple of tough losses against Arizona. Last night, they had a lead late, and they blew it again. So Giants just can do nothing right now. We'll talk about it next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on the show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever it is that you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moments sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Giants listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code LOCKEDON at checkout. And first of all, I just want to say, for anyone who was looking for an episode yesterday, I apologize. I was not feeling well yesterday. And if you're ever wondering, you can check out the Locked On Giants Twitter account, and we'll always provide updates there if there's not going to be an episode or if it's going to be late or something. So the account handle is LO_SFGiants. And anyway, I mean, yeah, so really, it's the same story from yesterday to today. The collapse continues. The fall of the San Francisco Giants, who started out the year 13-5, and ever since they've been stuck on that 27 win mark, and they have 34 losses, 27-34 since starting 13-5. They've lost six straight. They had a late lead last night, and then boom, the eighth inning happened. The Diamondbacks got, what, five runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. What's crazy about what's happening right now, too, is that they're facing some of the worst teams in the league when this is happening. They're losing to Arizona. They're losing to the White Sox. They're losing to the Tigers and the Reds. I mean, some of those teams have some talent, there's no doubt. These are major league teams. They all have talent, and that's the thing. Any team can beat any other team. But it's not just the Giants getting beat every now and then. They're getting beat nightly. And they're one game over 500. It continues to be a big troll to me that they're over 500, because they basically wouldn't be if they didn't have this 13-5 start. And even when they started 13-5, we were like getting tons of questions on our mailbag episodes and whatnot about how they weren't playing well. So it wasn't like they even looked great when they were 13-5. So I want to take a step back for just a minute and point out, so what's coming to mind for me when I see this happening right now is that we've seen something like this before. We have seen the Giants in years in which they overall had ended up having a playoff caliber team, even though they were like fringe. So I'm talking about 2014 and 2016. In both of those years, they ended up winning 80-something games, right? In 2014, they won 88 games and they were a wild card team. But maybe it's easy to forget that in that year specifically, they started out 43-21. So they had the best record going early in the season, and then they ended up going 45-53 the rest of the way. And that might not seem too extreme, but then how about, let's talk about 2016 for a second. And in 2016, I have it right here, the Giants started out the year 57-33, the best in baseball, a pace for 103 wins. And then afterwards, well, at the time that this article was written, there were many articles written about the collapse of the San Francisco Giants. I was podcasting at the time, just talking about this epic collapse that the Giants were on. And at the time that this article from Jeff Passan, then at Yahoo, was writing, he said they had been 22-37 after the All-Star break. And this was in mid-September, September 19th. It was right after the Giants, I remember, I was at this game. They were playing the Cardinals at home. And Bruce Bochy just continued. He went to Santiago Casilla again in a tight close situation, and Casilla just once again blew the game against the Cardinals. And that was just the bullpen, right? Was just giving up games like every night, it seemed, during this stretch. 22-37. So let me get back on point. And the point is a 22-37 stretch. It's like easy to just hear these numbers and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that is epically bad. Like what Passan said is it's the worst record after the All-Star break and a pace for 102 losses. So the Giants looked like a 103-win team through their first, whatever that is, 80 games. And then they looked like a 100-loss team in their next 59 games. And so the point is that it happens in baseball. And for the Giants, right now, they're 40-39. So it's not like, I mean, we don't know ultimately what that record is going to be when all is said and done at the end of the year. But the reason I see parallels is because this is a team that I know not everyone expected, but most expected to at least be like an above 500 team, a team that could get to the mid to high 80s in wins and get into the playoffs, even if it's kind of via the third wild card spot. I don't think the majority of experts predicted like 90 losses, 100 losses, certainly. And so the pace that the Giants are playing on in the last few weeks is like the worst in the league. They've lost six games in a row, so they're just currently reeling. But the point is that when all is said and done, if you just kept running out this roster, what would the ultimate win total be? We don't know, but they have their projections, and I think that they expected this team to be a team that could win in the high 80s at least. And maybe, I mean, I don't think they saw them as much more than that. My prediction was 91 wins, but let's just say that's still true. It is not abnormal. I mean, it's somewhat abnormal. This is kind of extreme, but it is not unprecedented at all to go through stretches like this in a season in which you ultimately have a solid year. And so that's kind of what I see happening here. But at the same time, when you look at the play on the field, it's just unbelievably poor right now, kind of in all aspects. And so coming up in just a minute, we're going to dive into a little bit of the specifics of what's going on right now. I mean, literally, they can't hit, they can't really pitch, and they can't defend, certainly. And so some of those things, like the defense, you have to wonder, is that something that can actually improve as time goes on? Because that has been an issue throughout the season, and it's hard to see that changing. So we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7 available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. And this is huge for me. The convenience of being able to do this from home makes it so much easier and a more enjoyable experience than having to go into a jewelry store and just deal with that whole environment and the perhaps pressure and all the other negatives that go along with that. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Giants listeners, by the way, get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code LOCKEDON, that's code LOCKEDON, plus every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, as promised, we are going to continue to talk about the collapse of the San Francisco Giants, and we have to start thinking about what they can do, what this means for the trade deadline. I know that a lot of you are asking about that, and it's on my mind as well. Like, are they buyers or are they sellers? And also, who is to blame and can they turn it around? There's so many questions. And also, we can talk a little bit about David Villar, who was called up. I actually want to mention that now so I don't forget. The point that I want to make about that, He had some big hits. His first game, first pitch he saw against Madison Bumgarner, lines a double to right field off the wall. Later in the game, had a single that scored a run. And had some good at-bats, but then we've seen there's some swing and miss. There's some strikeout. There was some defensive issues. And so I just think when we look at minor league numbers, it's not necessarily going to translate. And so I'm not just immediately giving up on David Villar, but I'm just saying, like, Donovan Walton, he's a guy who has become kind of a scapegoat in a lot of ways, and I understand it. I mean, he personally has just been a net negative, certainly, to the team. If you look at something like wins above replacement, it's very much a negative number for Donovan Walton in his time with the Giants, which means, in theory, a like replacement-level player who's not a good player. These are like, you know, your extra players on rosters that are just on the bench because they're not worthy of starting, would have been worth significantly more over Walton, in theory. Doesn't necessarily mean, because we're talking about small samples, that it would actually happen. But for Walton, if you look at the minor league numbers, they're also great. And so I think a lot of times when we're talking about the Giants and the fan kind of perception of the players and the perception of players in the minors, we get like wrapped up in players who are always, who have been in the Giants minor league system all year or even in their entire careers. And we look at the numbers and you go, oh my God, he's doing so great. Why aren't they calling him up? Well, Donovan Walton, so they acquired him from the Seattle Mariners organization in a trade for Prelander Baroa, whose name I'm sure I'm not saying 100% correctly, but and then he just comes right to the major leagues, and he spent some time in AAA for the Giants. But if you look at what he did in like 2019 in the Mariners minor league organization, in 2021 for the Mariners in AAA, I mean, the dude hit 304, 395 on base, 519 slugging, with a minuscule strikeout rate of 10% and a walk rate of 10%. And then in 2019, 300 average, 390 on base, 427 slugging, strikeout rate and walk rate, again, almost identical, and low for strikeouts and high for walks. And so even a guy like Walton, if he had just been a career player in the Giants minor league system, would be a guy that fans would be clamoring to call up. And so it doesn't necessarily translate. And also, so like when we look at VR, what I'm trying to say is we don't know what we're going to get out of VR. And what we've seen so far is there has been some chase, some swing and miss, and some defensive issues already. And for Walton, I think they obviously believe in him, and I can see why given these minor league numbers, but it's not necessarily going to translate. And for Walton, I actually don't know this for a fact, but I heard somebody say, I think on the air, that he had won a minor league Gold Glove award. And so that is not what we have seen at all. He has been a liability on defense, but I think part of it may have to do with just nerves. And that's part of the deal. Like, you have to be able to handle nerves when you're making it into the major leagues. If you get in your head and you start to get nervous and afraid of messing up, and you start messing up and it compounds and gets worse, I think that's kind of what we've seen from Donovan Walton. But it's just to say that there's no easy solution necessarily. Like, David Villar could just keep getting run out there and we could keep seeing some of those trends. Like, he came up with the bases loaded and maybe one out or a chance for a sac fly at some point in the game yesterday and ended up chasing a pitch out of the zone for strike three. He struck out in 43% of his plate appearances so far. He's only had 7 plate appearances, but he struck out in 3 of them. So obviously we're talking about a tiny sample here. When we look at projection systems, Steamer on Fangraphs has him as an above average bat in terms of their major league projection, but all the other systems on Fangraphs, Zips and the Bat, have him below average. So I think it just remains to be seen. It depends on, Giants have their own internal projection systems and they're imperfect. I'm sure they believed in Donovan Walton and that's why we kept seeing him go out there, but it just wasn't there. And that's kind of the beauty of baseball in a way, is that it is so unpredictable. But at the same time, it can be part of the frustration when you're going through a stretch like this and you don't really know how to come out of it. And there's not necessarily an easy answer. And so yesterday, the starting pitching was actually solid. Alex Wood gave them a good start. The day prior, it was Carlos Rodon kind of uncharacteristically giving up some runs early. And the offense not being able to claw its way back. And something we've seen over and over and over again from the Giants, which was early pressure that they put on the pitcher, and then they went silent the rest of the game, it seemed. And I have seen that way too often, is like non-competitive at bats in the middle of the game, just quick, painless innings. It's almost like the pitchers can't believe how easy it was to get through the inning. They're like looking around like, oh my gosh, that was a great inning for me. How did I do that? I never have innings like that. Like yesterday, Noe Ramirez comes in. He's been lit up all year and he just zips right through. I think Mike Yastrzemski on three pitches, just no resistance from the Giants offense at times. And it is hard to watch. And you start to wonder about, like, perhaps does this have something to do with the departure of Donnie Ecker to the Texas Rangers? So to start the year, I mean, the Giants offense was actually on average. I understand that it's like when you talk about runs per game, they're not actually scoring exactly that many runs per game. But for me, I tend to believe that if you're averaging 5 runs a game, then over a long stretch of time, if you're averaging 5 runs a game, it means something about your offense. It doesn't, I think, like, if you're scoring a lot of runs in some games and few in other games, I think on average, you're going to hit your average more often than not. But that really didn't seem to be the case for the Giants this year. But overall, they were scoring runs at a fine rate. Their team weighted runs created plus was solidly above average. And so I wasn't really buying into this. Donnie Ecker leaving for the Texas Rangers really hurt them. But lately, just the quality of the at-bats has been of a quality that we haven't seen from this team in the last couple of years. I think since Ecker and Justin Vealey and Dustin Lind came in, those are the three hitting coaches. And then they added a new one this offseason. I'm forgetting his name. Spanish-speaking hitting coach, so they could get the same detailed level of instruction that the non-Spanish speakers were getting, or the English speakers. And anyway, I think we have to start thinking about, is that a legitimate point? And I think it is a legitimate question to ask. It's something we'll ultimately not really be able to figure out on our own. We'll just ultimately be able to look at the numbers when all is said and done and say, is this enough? And we can look at the Texas Rangers and improvements that they made. But it was Ecker, Vealey, and Lind, and he was supposedly the top dog. And so he departs and goes to the Texas Rangers, and it's a fair question to ask. Just given how non-competitive a lot of these at-bats have been recently, you start to wonder what's going on. And like people swinging through 90-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle of the plate, it's kind of unfathomable how bad the Giants are playing right now. So coming up in just a minute, we are going to continue talking about how bad the Giants are playing and why I really do believe that at a certain point they should be able to turn this around. And maybe it's tonight, maybe it's not, but we've got a little bit of time before the Giants are going to have to feel like they have to make a decision on this team. So all of that in just a second. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you can just find out what the part is, look it up, see how much cheaper it is, buy it yourself, bring it back to the dealer or whoever your mechanic is, and you've saved a bunch of money? Really is a no-brainer. I have done it myself probably almost a dozen times. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, as promised, we're going to just continue drilling into the San Francisco Giants and kind of figure out who is to blame and what they can do. And like I said, ultimately, I think I just continue to believe. I thought last night they were going to pull that one off. They did not, but they're just not this bad. And I'm going to tie it back with what I was originally saying about the 2014 and 2016 teams and how they went through stretches like this. And so, yes, this 2022 Giants team didn't have the, you know, put together the type of numbers that those two teams did to begin the year. The Giants, I mean, they had a solid record. They were, I think, 36 and 26 not long ago, and now they're 40 and 39. So they were 10 games over 500, and now they've only won four games since, and they're one game over 500. So it's been a rough stretch. There's no doubt about it. That would be 4 and 13. So they're just not that bad. Like, if you look at the percentage of, you know, wins that is 4 and 13, or however, even if you look since they were 13 and 5, they're not that bad. And so at any point, I would expect them to play to their true talent level, which I've come down a little bit, like off my 91 win prediction. This stretch has been that bad, and their record now is that mediocre, that I'd peg them more in the mid 80s. And so I think that at any point, they're going to play like a mid 80s win team. They're not just going to lose every game, which is what's happening right now. And so that's the thing, is that you can go through stretches like this and it can flip. It can happen fast, and it can just happen overnight, and you just start playing better. Like, I think of we talked about the last year's Braves and how the Braves, they didn't get over 500 until August or September, and they went on to win the World Series. And a lot of people say, yes, but they have stars, and that's the difference. Well, Ronald Acuna Jr. blew out his ACL in July. And at that point, myself and all other kind of baseball analysts were like, the Braves are done. This is it. But they kind of patched together some moves around the deadline. They traded for some outfielders. They needed outfield help. I think we have to understand that Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, and Jock Peterson, who was not having a great year last year for the Cubs, these were not like major additions. They just kind of patched together some pieces, and it worked. They gelled, they went on a run, they got hot at the right time, and they went on to win the World Series. And I also think back, I think it was in 2017, the Dodgers had a stretch where they lost, I think, 11 games in a row. And yes, they had like a comfortable margin of a lead at that point in the division, but 11 games in a row from a team with tons of talent. So it happens. It's not unprecedented, but it also means something. I'm not saying just write this off. It's just bad luck. Not saying that at all. And the defense, I meant to point that out a minute ago, but you wonder if the defense is something they can fix. What's crazy is that it was bad in 2020. I think, I don't know how many people were closely following the 2020 season because it was so weird and the pandemic and all that, but defense was a major problem for the Giants, especially at the start of that season with Flores and Solano. They had major problems, especially at third base when Longoria was out, which is still a problem, which is kind of amazing that they just, it's almost like they don't think defense matters as much as we do. And I would tend to think that if that's their philosophy, they probably have good reason for that. And also, what's crazy is we look at 2021, and it was a lot of the same players as this year and 2020, and they were fine. If in fact, they were a net positive defensively, according to all kinds of different numbers. And this year, it's a lot of the same guys. Yes, there's like Donovan Walton, who's been botching plays left and right. Yes, I mean, what's, just to give an example, Darren Ruff. Before the season started, I was talking about how he was just an underrated defender, and that his body size, you wouldn't think that he would be any good in the outfield, but that he actually had been. And he had been. He actually was a solid defensive outfielder. It's like Aaron Judge. You look at him and you're like, oh, he's probably not very good. Well, he is. It's not the same. I'm not saying Ruff was Aaron Judge, who's actually, Judge historically has been a good, very good defensive outfielder, can play center field, believe it or not, even though he's like 6 million and weighs like 300 pounds. Okay, he's in very good shape. I'm not insulting Aaron Judge. I'm just saying he's a big dude. But for Ruff, he was a good defender in even the outfield, but also at first. And this year, that just hasn't been the case. And I don't know what it is. It's, to me, it's like partially just the balls that are hit to him are hit in areas that just test his range just enough that you see that he's not able to do it. I don't know if he's in worse shape. He is older. You know, he is 35 or 36 years old already. So it could be. I mean, it's hard to – your body changes. It's hard to stay in the best shape ever when you're that age. Not trying to bury Darren Ruff, but he's going to be 36 this month. And so having him out there, a big dude playing the outfield, it just hasn't worked out. So can they do anything about this? I mean, if you start looking at the trade deadline, you could target better defensive players, but I don't know how many are really out there who are going to, like, when we look at some of the top names available, Wilson Contreras, the catcher, has a framing problem. You've got Josh Bell, who's just not known as a great defender either. Trey Mancini, same deal. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to solve this. I think a lot of the players they have just have to play better. And to me, if you look at last year and you look at this year, they should be able to be better than they have been the worst team defensively in the league. It's just crazy and embarrassing how bad they have been defensively. And it's like every single night. And even David Villar, it's just like organization wide right now. And I don't know what the solution is. You do, like I mentioned, with the hitting coaches. I think there should be some pressure on them to be better. And also the defensive coaches. I think Kai Correa is just the infield coach, but he's got to feel some pressure from this. A lot of pressure. I mean, this ultimately falls on the coaching staff, and the staff is the responsibility of Gabe Kapler. And so they should be feeling like they need to be better. Otherwise, there should be some insecurity there, and you cannot be this bad. So they have to tighten it up. And I think at any point it's possible, but we'll have to wait and find out. And that's kind of the beauty of baseball. So that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, KASPICK. If you like the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Helps me out a lot, so thanks in advance, and thanks to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Talking about roster moves, we didn't even mention Kurt Casale got hurt and Joey Bart's likely to be activated. Alex Cobb going tonight. Merrill Kelly, good starting pitcher for the D-backs, going. So the stretch could continue. And we would have more doom and gloom tomorrow. So anyway, hopefully not. But thanks again for listening. Stay Locked On Giants.